Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you could be with me for this podcast for September. Are you ready for this? That 24th, 2022. It is flying by this year, at least for me it is. I'm always busy, so nonetheless, less than none. Here we are at the 24th already, and I'm very, very grateful. In some way or another, you're listening to this podcast. You never know. People will say to us, I don't get it. Now, what is the it? Well, usually it's the purpose, the meaning, the significance, the motivation, the subject matter. Getting it is basically my understanding based on, and typically, my mental acuity. Now, if I only think with my mind and think from my body, then getting it will be very difficult because I will only be able to recognize few things in this world that I get, things I can actually understand and, you know, get my teeth into, as it were. Most people think in terms of getting it as meaning, I don't understand. I don't understand the premise. I don't understand the modality of which you're trying to express an idea in, something like that. There are certain things that we get and certain things we don't get. The things we don't get that are of a higher nature are because we haven't attuned our mind to the authentic heart. We are not listening to what is going on or watching what is going on through consciousness. We are looking at things from the premise of logic and reasoning, the only thing that the human body has in order to comprehend anything. So when we're thinking in terms of getting it, what are we really talking about? What is this it? Why don't I get it? I get a lot of emails about my work and even texts and phone calls about it from listeners who say, I don't get it. I just don't get what you're talking about. I recently got one from a gentleman named Carrie, who I did get to talk to on the phone, which is very rare when someone makes room for me in their life in that way, and I was very grateful. He asked in his email, how do I make my life work with your practice? And then he called me, and he wanted to clarify, and I thought it was very, very thoughtful. So I want to say some things here that might sound a bit odd. Well, nothing new there. But my premise, my motivation is to help you understand the nature of your life and understand the compassion that it takes to understand the nature of our lives. First of all, Carrie, as I talk to you on the phone, this is not my practice. I do not own it. I do not have jurisdiction over it. I do not, create it. It's nothing of my invention at all. Rather, it is a result of years and years and years of Greg Penn stupidity, Greg Penn selfishness, Greg Penn ignorance, you know, over the years of my life. I'm 71 now, and so when I look back at all the crazy things that I did for the sake of trying to overcome my ignorance, my loneliness, my pain, my sorrow, my breeding, my mother and father's genetics in me and everything. And then traveling, of course, throughout my life to India and sitting with awakened people, I learned a great deal. And it is a very humbling thing to learn these things. So I'm going to say things to you that may not seem relevant to your life per se, but they are relevant to everyone's life in totality. And I hope that you can understand that. How do I make my life work with the practice, not mine? You cannot serve two masters, Carrie, as we talked about on the phone. Jesus talked about this in his work. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot live your life in the accord, shall we say, of the pedestrian mentality that's trying to make logical, reasonable sense out of the state of spiritual awakening. Spiritual awakening is something totally different. It has nothing to do with what is going on in the world. It has nothing to do with my body. It has nothing to do with the brain that I use to maneuver my life around into survival and comfort, those kind of things. It just does not work like that. I have to learn to understand the way inside me, the manifested way of love. Now, I say manifested because it must first manifest in me through compassion, forgiveness, mercy, and generosity. The problem with an authentic spiritual practice, Carrie, is it requires an immense amount of generosity. A generosity that most people just cannot muster up. I have many students, and most of them cannot be generous. They can be conveniently generous when they feel like it. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about understanding. The most generous thing a person does in a spiritual practice is come to the place of understanding. They have to make room for understanding. They must sacrifice their assumptions and presumptions, which they thought they understood as the way of life, for the sake of the reality of love. There are certain things, and I have covered them in my commentaries, in my discourses, in all of the TV programs I've done, the radio programs I did, all of these things. I've covered all of this, and you would have to go back and listen to them. It is a momentum. Spiritual work is a momentum, and it is gained through constant interaction with it rather than my fear. And so what goes on inside of us is we have constant interaction with our fears, all of them. There are two things that haunt people. One is loneliness, it's the major one, and fear, the fear of what that loneliness is going to bring about, the fear of being alone, the fear of not knowing what to do, the fear of not surviving. These are the things that make people cringe on the inside. The reason we are in such disarray in this world, in such mischief in this world, is because we just are not interested in love. We are not interested in putting aside those things that would let love live me, that would make room for love to such a degree that we would be living in the authentic rather than in the pathetic. And most of us are pathetic in the way we live. We live in the means of the human body and what it dictates through impulse and emotion, what many of you call passion, and it gets us in trouble. We see our enemies, you know, in this world, and we just don't understand that they have a passion for being our enemy. They have a deep passion, and it's the same passion we have for them against them. We really don't understand this passion thing and our emotions and the impulses of them. I highly recommend, as I told you, Casey, to read Robert Sapolsky's work, Behave, and get an overview of the history of humankind through Sapiens and Homo Deus, a book by Harari that is absolutely magnificent. You must have an overview of things. You see, the problem, Carrie, is that we're not done yet. We're just not done yet. We're not done with our mischief. We're not done with, we don't know where we are. I want you to look at it for a moment, Carrie. Look where you are. You live in a world where you were birthed as an animal, just like an animal. You were raised for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was to survive. And in that survival, you will compromise your spirituality. You will compromise the state of your heart. You will compromise love, real love, for the sake of your own survival. You will be, your lifetime will be subject to an animal that is living, that is a time bomb for illness, and poverty, and death. Look where you are. Don't you get it? Don't you see where you are? And who is this person in you called Carrie? Who are you? What are you? What are you doing? Most people just live it out. They don't see it. They want prosperity and health and happiness. It's not what we're here for. We're not here to be rich. We're not here to be happy. If my happiness is dependent upon my body and what it wants, and it's the fulfillment of my emotionality of my body, then I'm never going to really be happy. Not ever, not never. Ever, never, ever. I'm just not going to have that. But if I can break away from that and I can start to live my life in the blessing of the heart and have a purpose in that heart that is greater than my survival, now I come into something that is beyond happiness. It is what often is called to as joy, called to bring us joy, called to bring us love, called to bring us life. We miss because we have our own agenda, because we have conformed to the human body, and we allow it to tell us when we're going to be happy, what makes us happy, what makes us sad, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. We make enemies from our body and the passions of our body. So how do you make the practice your lifestyle? I will tell you, but you won't listen, but I will tell you. And I've said it 1,000 times. I've said it on TV. I've said it on radio. I've said it on interviews. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And that is your journey. That is what you're here for. That is the state of your awakening. And should you not be able to do that, or you ignore that because you just don't get it, then your life will be like everyone else's. We mimic each other's life through the collective unconscious. And hence, what do we have at the end of the day? Nothing more than what the collective unconscious can dictate. There are a lot of people in this world who just are so afraid of being alone, so afraid of survival. How will they survive if they're alone? You were born alone. You will die alone. No matter what, I do hospice, I can tell you, we all die alone. We all do, even though there are people all around us. In this world, you are left to what is left of you, the authentic you, the heart of you. Let that be for love. I hope that helps you, sweet man. And it was a joy to talk to you, and thank you for the honor and the privilege. And thank you for listening, my dear audience. I will be back tomorrow with more questions. If you have a question for me, it's easy to get a hold of me. Just email me at greg@aspire.org. That's simple. See you tomorrow. Please forgive me. Namaste.